You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to BTR Boxing Podcast Network. I am your host, Sean, joined as always by Jamie for this week's Big Fight Preview episode. And on this episode, we have got Dalton Smith versus Jose Cepeda. An acid test indeed for Mr. Smith as he aims to progress his career. He's looked ever so good so far throughout the course of his career, but he's fighting a legit fighter in Jose Cepeda. Also on this card, a world title fight between Sandy Ryan and Terry Harper is also happening in the WBO welterweight crown, currently held by Ryan, defended against Terry Harper, who's looking to become a champion. Some more, Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson also features, and Campbell Hatton fights Jimmy Flint for the Central Area super lightweight crown. So a few interesting fights there on the Saturday night. And then on Friday, we've got Chris Bork and Ashley Lane for the British Bantamweight title. The vacant title also happening on TNT Sports as a notable mention for this weekend. But the focus for us really in this episode is around Dalton Smith and Jose Cepeda. So Jamie, at this point, I'm going to bring you in now and obviously welcome you as always to the show and let you welcome to the listeners and talk about Dalton Smith and Jose Cepeda and your initial interpretation of this matchup.
Hello, everybody. As always, lovely to be here. Thank you, Sean. My initial interpretation of this matchup, Dalton Smith, he's not really put a foot wrong, has he, so far? 15-0, he's had quite a few knockouts on the way, but he's only really done it at domestic level. So this is a nice little step up for him. Step up against the southpaw as well, and Jose Cepeda. So, you know, it could be a fantastic night, or, you know, you could have the old southpaw crowds, where the southpaw sort of nullifies the orthodox man's work. And even if Dalton Smith's able to get the win, he can't really do it in style. Jose Cepeda's been against some decent opposition this time. I think the earliest I remember, he fought Terry Flanagan, didn't he? And Terry Flanagan, Manchester boy, I think he won the WBO title. Yeah, it was the fight whereby he won the WBO title, Terry Flanagan, I think, back in the day. So, yeah, been on the radar. Oh, that was in 2015. So he's got a lot more miles on the clock, a lot more miles than Dalton Smith. So again, like you mentioned there, I think it's really it's a good fight for Dalton Smith. Just a little bit of entry into world class and a step towards getting some bigger fights.
It is. This is the moment where I think they're stepping him up because they believe that he can go further in rear than just the level he's been at for a little bit of time. You think about his career to date, and like you said, and I'll jump on the back of that point, he hasn't really put a foot wrong. Looking at his last few fights in particular, I think the big wins for him, really, I think the Samuel Mason win in 2022, the win over Casey Benjamin was a big win for him. He beat Billy Allington, then he beat Sam Maxwell in his last fight. And, you know, picking up the British and Commonwealth title along the way on this journey so far, as there hasn't really been anything to overly criticise him for at this stage. I think now he's going in against a guy who, as you've rightly pointed out, he's known, well known, I think, to most boxing fans because of his fights that he's had in the past. And you mentioned, obviously, Terry Flanagan, and it feels like a lifetime ago, of course, when he fought Terry and Dean. But you think about what he's done since then and the fights he has been involved with since then. He's fought Jose Carlos Ramirez, of course, as another big name in the super lightweight division. Jose Pedraza, and got a win against Jose Pedraza in 2019. He knocked out Ivan Baranchek in 2020, of course. Got wins over Henry Lunde and then moved on to his big fight with Regis Prograis in 2022. Lost in 11 rounds to Prograis and then lost in his last fight to Richardson Hitchens via unanimous decision. So what I will say is that this is certainly a big step up in class for Dalton Smith, because he's not like he's going to European level here. For me, he's jumping straight to world level. And despite the fact that Zepeda's 34, yes, Zepeda's lost four fights in his career, he has been in with some absolute quality opposition in the likes of Hitchens and Prograis and Baranchik and even Pedraza and even Ramirez a few years ago. And I think the level of opposition that he's been in the ring with will be a good benchmark if Dalton Smith was to emphatically beat him, because then you would look at that and think, well, if he's able to do that against Zepeda, then surely he's got to be in and around the mix at world level to be able to hang it with some of those guys. Now, I know Styles will always make fights, and we can't just assume that he will be good at world level if he was to beat Zepeda, but it's certainly the test that he needs at this stage of his career, given where his resume is at, the likes of the fighters he has beaten, in comparison to sort of bypassing that European level or even fringe world title contender level. I think with someone like Zepeda, who's been in with the best around, this is certainly a big, big test, and could also be a moment where he comes unstuck as well, because there is that possibility, isn't there, Jamie, that he fights Jose Zepeda and actually Zepeda's got too much for him.
Yeah, very much so. Experience counts for a lot, especially when you've been in against the likes of sort of Regis Prograis, and, you know, even though Prograis managed to stop Jose Zepeda, you know, he's still a sort of slate of the record. He's been in against a higher level of opposition. There'll be very little that Jose hasn't seen before. So, you know, it's really, as you mentioned, it's going to be a massive sort of line in the sand moment for Dalton Smith, just to see whether he can cross over that line and, you know, start to move towards the potential that these domestic performances are sort of projecting him towards.
In terms of how this fight then plays out, what are we thinking with what Dalton Smith has done so far in his career? I mean, you look at his resume. He's 11 KOs out of his 15 wins. In his last three fights in particular, he's got two unanimous decisions and obviously one TKO against Sam Maxwell. Is this a fight where he could stop Jose Zepeda, or do you think that maybe the approach to fight somebody like a Zepeda would be to not take too many chances, not take too many risks, and actually go out there and try and put on a bit of a boxing masterclass and look good in doing so? Because I don't feel like the pressure needs to be on Smith to actually go in there and get a stoppage against Zepeda. What I want to see for his progression is I want to see him go in there and bully him, and I want to see him then go in there and smother everything he does, and I just want to see him completely outclass a guy who's been at the top level. If he's able to do that and he doesn't get a knockout, that's not going to be a negative for me. If anything, it's a positive, because he gets the rounds and he gets the experience in a high quality world level rounds in. So do you think there's any pressure on him at all to stop Zepeda, you know, to try and make a statement, so to speak? Or are you in agreement with me, really, that it doesn't matter how he gets the job done, as long as he looks relatively dominant in doing so, then what's the problem?
I'd sort of lean towards your assessment of things. He doesn't need to, but what you've got to remember is this is at the Sheffield Arena, this fight. So he's going to want to do in. He's going to be wanting to make a statement against like the biggest name on his record in front of a home crowd. And we know that Dalton Smith can crack. So I think, you know, the way that I see it is he'll be cagey to start with, because Zabeda's going to present a new challenge for him, a bit of a veteran challenge. He'll be cagey, but I certainly think he'll be taking advantage of the openings. But it'll be a sign of Dalton Smith's maturity. It'll be a sign that he is maturing as a fighter if he doesn't jump all over Zabeda and then jeopardise himself. So, yeah, I do think he'll want to put on a show. I think he will want to go for the knockout just because the fight is in Sheffield in front of a home crowd. I would like to see Dalton Smith, like you say, just get into the box of tricks and just, you know, make an entry into world class and just win it, basically. So, yeah, echoing your sentiments, he doesn't need to do it too flashy. A exhibition of boxing skill could be just as attractive as a knockout. So, and we know that Dalton Smith's got that in his arsenal. So, yeah, I do think he'll be going for the shot, the stoppage. I do think there'll be times where he'll have Zepeda sort of wobbled. But I don't know, I reckon Zepeda will see it out. I can see Dalton Smith winning on points quite decisively as well.
Yeah, I've kind of the same opinion, really. I think Dalton Smith probably wins on points, but if he stops him late in the fight, it will be good for him. It will be an emphatic victory for him, and obviously it'll get people talking about the potential in this division, because, you know, the super lightweight division at the moment, I think at the top end it is quite a hotbed for talent, and I think someone like Dalton Smith coming through now would really start to open it up a little bit more in terms of the division. And with Catterall and Taylor being moved from the original date, now moving towards the end of May, you know, we're not going to kind of get a definitive outcome in that fight as to whether Dalton Smith starts to put himself in with an argument of fighting one of those guys, even though really he's a lot less on in his career than those two guys. So I think a big win like this, a big statement, certainly puts him on the radar of other fighters to be looking out for and potential fighters to be looking. But I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing if he can get past the test. That's kind of why I wanted to cover this fight for this week's show, is because whilst it's not a big fight per se, it really is for Dalton Smith, because it's a big step forward in his career if he beats Zepeda. He's got to get past him first, of course. He's got a guy who's got plenty of experience in front of him, so it'll be interesting to see how he deals with it and if he can overcome any type of adversity in the fight. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. But I'm also looking forward to Terry Harper and Sandy Ryan. I think this was a fight I wasn't really expecting to see next. I thought Sandy Ryan would be immediately getting into a rematch with Jessica McCaskill. I felt like she won the McCaskill fight in September last year. I felt she was a little bit hard done to in that fight against McCaskill. And I was thinking, yeah, do you know what? They'll run this fight back and it'll give the opportunity for Sandy Ryan to add a couple of more titles to that WBO title. But it seems like the paths have completely gone astray, and Jessica McCaskill's now been announced to fight Lauren Price. So Lauren Price is getting her first world title shot. So that's off the table. But Terry Harper, of course, has been vying for a title shot in this division and wanting to get her stamp of authority in this division. Of course, when you look at where she has been in her career and the fight she's been involved with, she's had some really interesting fights, becoming a super welterweight champion and then now moving down to the welterweight division after getting that majority draw against Cecilia Brackhouse. So it is quite interesting that she's taking the step down and going through the motions of being able to try and win another title in another weight division. And I suppose when you look at the difference between the men's side of the sport and the women's side of the sport, it seems to be quite easier, doesn't it, for the women to be able to transition between the weights up and down so quickly. I mean, Katie Taylor's done it multiple occasions. She's gone up and then she's come back down again, then she's gone up again. And it's like Terry Harper, you know, when you think about when she was a super featherweight champion and then she moved up and she's moved into the super welterweight division and won a world title. Now she's coming back down again and challenging Sandy Ryan in what I think will be a pretty interesting fight, because Terry Harper has got, I think she's got masses of experience in big fight situations than what Sandy Ryan has. And while Sandy Ryan probably deserved that win over McCaskill in that last fight, I do think, regardless of the amateur career she had, I think it's the advantages for me going favour of Terry Harper on this occasion. And I think, I mean, people might argue differently to me as to what this fight looks like, but I genuinely see this one as even though she's not the champion, I think Terry Harper, in my eyes, is possibly the favourite for this one.
I would say so. She's, you know, we mentioned about experience. Yeah, on the men's side of things, experience can sort of go against you because, like you say, you know, you get an old war horse, someone who's campaigned, moved up and down the weights, and you just do that out on the head with women's boxing. The weights don't seem to bother them too much, do they? You're like, look at Natasha Jonas. I think she was a super featherweight at one point, and then she goes up and moves up to light middle, and she's destroying people. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the experience will really tell with Terry Harper. She's 14-1, and she can crack as well. She's got 6 knockouts, and she's obviously had world title pedigree there. She's all the likes of Cecilia Brackhouse, so she's not going to be overruled by the occasion. Brackhouse is very, very experienced, so she's going to, you know, there's not really much that Sandy Ryan can really offer that I don't think Terry Harper won't have seen already. So I echo your sentiment, as I often have done this evening, and I would say that she's real as well. I would actually fancy Terry Harper to maybe put on a bit of a show and maybe even stop Sandy Ryan. You know, she's not afraid of going in and having a bit of a scrap. You know, many thought that she beat Jessica McCaskill, but they got the draw.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So, if Sandy Ryan wants to come to her, I'm sure Terry Harper will, you know, she'll engage and we'll see a really attractive. I reckon Terry Harper wins on points in quite a decent affair.
Well, if she does, she'll be a 3-weight world titles in 3 different weights. So I think that's some going, really, when you think about how dramatically she was stopped by Alicia Baumgartner a couple of years ago. Quite an emphatic stoppage, and for her to have overcome that moment to have won titles at different weights, I think it will be some going. Fair play if she's able to do it, but also fair play to Sandy if she's able to get through this and show people why she should have won that fight against Jessica McCaskill. So be interesting to see how this one plays out indeed. The other fight on the card that really intrigues me, of course, is a certain Campbell Hatton stepping into a fight for the Central Area Super Lightweight title against James Flint. This is probably the biggest step up in his career. I think it's time. I'll be honest with you. I think it's been time for him for a while to sort of get that step up. And a few times when people have been really critical about Campbell, I've been quite defensive of him, and probably through loyalty to watching his dad's career from start to finish. But I think what people forget about Campbell is he had a very limited amateur career, very limited and quite a mixed amateur career. So a lot of what he's done in the professional ranks has been like having his amateur career, but on a professional scale. So he's been learning along the way. I think the problem we've had with Campbell is so much emphasis and pressure has been put on him from the get-go. And because he was put on cards by Matchroom very early on, and you know, he's being stuck up certain parts of the card when really he probably shouldn't, and he should really have just been fighting in leisure centres for the first 10-15 fights, because he's had that pressure put on him so early on, people are going to automatically look for the deficiencies in him as a fighter, and they're automatically going to look at where his dad was and what his dad was doing in his career, and they're going to make comparisons. I understand why people do that. But then I think, you know, when I look at his progression throughout his career, I do think he started to improve from where he was when he first started out 3 years ago. I think as we're in 2024, he's got this fight for the Central Area title, which is great because he's going down that route. And most fighters who fight for the Central Area title usually headline a small hold show, whereas in this case, he's on a bigger show, of course, but he's fighting for that title. And I think it's good that he's going down this route, and he's fighting somebody with similar sort of experiences to him. I think this is a really good fight for him. So what do you think about Campbell then, Jamie? We've never had this conversation, so it's really good to sort of get your insight into Campbell and sort of what you're thinking about him. And it could be completely opposite than what I'm saying, but I'm really interested to hear what your thoughts have been on his career to date and this fight in particular for him, this step up that he's taking.
I always had a big interest in him, not just because of his dad. I was like Ricky Hatton's number one fan as a kid. I could tell you what Ricky had for breakfast most days, I suppose. I had a real interest in Campbell's trajectory and the start of his career, because I actually watched him box a couple of times as an amateur in Walkden in Greater Manchester. He boxed at a friend's gym on an amateur show a couple of times. So, you know, the name Hatton, it's always going to draw stares. It's always going to draw sort of, intrigue. And it did with me. I actually went down specifically to watch him box. I was impressed with him as an amateur with the limited experience that he had, just because it was a case of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Just go in. Like, I think one of the fights he might have lost, actually, but you know, he went in and he gave a good account of himself. I'm always interested in a fighter who's got heart. You know, he never particularly had the skill. He was sort of going in head first and wading in with his shots. And when he turned professional, you know, the calls, everything on social media were had, weren't they? You know, oh, is that never going to be his dad? And he got the criticism and everything like that. But I'm like you. I've got a soft spot for Campbell Hatton because he just seems to be. He's not shoving himself down our throats like Conor Benn, is he? You know, Conor Benn's going around in a hired Bentley, thinking he's a multi-millionaire, and he probably is a multi-millionaire, to be honest, but, you know, less said about Conor Benn, the better. You know, he is the antithesis of Conor Benn. He's very polite. He just seems to want to go under the radar a little bit. It's not his fault that his surname's Hatton. And the promoters want to put him on big cards. I'm sure he's not, like, asked for that. I'm sure he appreciates it. But, yeah, he just seems to have held back a little bit in recent fights and really learned his trade. And I think the Central Area title is, you know, that's an ode to that, really. And an ode to, again, the traditional titles and building a fighter. So I'm glad to see him boxing for that title. It was a belt that his dad won, I think, in his... I think his 10th fight against Tommy Peacock ended up stopping him with a beautiful beautiful array of body shots, Ricky. I remember it well. I've got all of Ricky's fights on DVD upstairs. So, yeah, any comparisons to his dad's career? Another friend of mine, Kieran Farrell, he also boxed for the Central Area title in his 10th fight. And I know that's completely sort of off topic, but it always intrigues me because he used to say the same thing, you know, I fought the same number of fights and I've got my Central Area shot, the same number of fights that I had, you know. So, yeah, it's always filled me with intrigue, the old Central Area title, and I wish him all the best. I only want Campbell to succeed. I don't think, personally, on skill level, he's got a British title in him, but I really hope I'm wrong. You know, I would have said the same thing about Nathan Heaney and look where he's ended up. So that's my assessment, Sean.
So they're the main fights this weekend that I wanted us to cover on the show, but obviously there are other fights on the card. I mentioned Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson in the super welterweight division. I think that's a good, again, another acid test for someone like Ishmael Davis, 12-0, going in against Troy, who we've seen in great fights over the last few. I'm really interested to see what happens in that particular fight. You've got Nico Leviaz on the card as well. You've got Conor Murray, Liam Cameron, of course. Liam Cameron, quite well known for the fact that he tested positive for cocaine and was given a really harsh sentence. Whereas when we talk about the likes of Conor Ben, who you mentioned earlier, and other said fighters who have tested positive for other substances that are actually performance-enhancing drugs, they've kind of been given a slap on the wrist and off you go, carry on with your boxing career and earn money, whereas Liam was kind of made an example of. So it's good to see that he's getting an opportunity finally on this particular card, because I know he's been asking for bigger opportunities on bigger cards, and I think it's only fair that he does, because he's whipped himself right into good shape as well. He's been struggling over the past few years, as you can probably imagine, and he's got himself into really good shape, and his comeback trail has been quite successful so far. So if he continues to do what he's doing, I think it will be really interesting to see whether there is anything left in him as a fighter to be able to have maybe at least one big fight in his career before he calls time on that box. So he also features on this particular card, and I did mention earlier to you guys listening about the card on TNT Sports at the York Hall on the Friday night. We've got a bantamweight championship class between Chris Burke and Ashley Lane happening. Willie Hutchinson's also on the card. Moses Itama, of course, who's had a very active year in 2023, looking to continue that in T4. And a few of the prospects, of course, that are on there, the likes of Sonny Ali, Sean Noakes, the debut of Luke McCormack as well, also on this card this weekend. But that pretty much is the sum of the weekend before we head into a decent-ish weekend, which it was supposed to be a decent-ish weekend on the 30th of March, but unfortunately, as we record this today, Keith Thurman has had to pull out of the fight with Tim Tszyu, and Sebastian Fundora has been put in as a replacement to fight Tim Tszyu on that particular day, which is quite disappointing, because I was looking forward to sort of having the conversation with yourself, Jamie, about what potentially could happen between those two. But now that's been called off as of today, and Fundora steps in. I think Fundora's a good opponent for him. I'm not going to complain about that whatsoever, because I think that's, in some people's eyes, might be even more of a logical opponent for him at this stage of his career.
He is a better fight. Yeah, Fundora, he's got I wouldn't say he's got a better record, but, you know, he's more current. I don't know why, you know, bringing Keith sort of fight one time every 4 years was really a logical step for Tim Tszyu. I get it, entry into America. So maybe that is a logical step. But yeah, I think Fundora will pose a bit more of a challenge at the stage of the career that he's at. He's only 26, so he's fresh. Again, he's a southpaw, and we talked about the southpaw curse a little bit earlier on in the show. So yeah, he could ask some questions of Tim Tszyu, certainly more questions than an ageing Keith Thurman would ask. So I actually think it's a better fight.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll cover that, of course, next week on the Big Fight Preview episode, talking more about that weekend's fights. But as we come to the end of this episode, guys, it's a good opportunity, again, just to let you guys know about the upcoming new season of Career Profiles. Jamie, just a quick word from you then. This is going to be officially your first series-based show with ourselves at the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. you're of course stepping into Johnson's shoes to take over the mantelpiece of being the co-host for not just the weekly shows, but the storytelling shows. So I'm really excited to have you on board to be covering these shows. But of course, it's a challenge indeed that lies ahead to be able to give you guys listening the same level of quality that we have always been delivering and that we've developed over the years. And with you coming on board now, Jamie, it's a good opportunity to continue to develop that quality into even greater quality.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I'm helping put the shows together along with yourself. You know, we're a two-man army now, aren't we? And it's great just learning about the heroes of yesteryear, my own heroes. In particular, you know, we got some exciting names coming up. I don't want to spill the beans, but, you know, learning things that I didn't even know. And it's always intriguing, especially when one terms themselves as a bit of a boxing historian. It's always good when you do find between pages of research and stuff like that, something that you haven't seen before. So it's been a bit of a journey of discovery for me, and I'm looking forward to, filling those massive shoes that Johnston left behind, and hopefully the massive shoes that I do step into won't leave you wonderful viewers thinking, well, they're only big shoes because he's a clown. You know, I'll do my best, and I'll appreciate all the comments, and yeah, especially in the early days, you know, any feedback is good feedback. So yeah, I'm looking forward to entertaining all you lovely viewers.
Can't wait for it. Look forward to the show. It's one of the bigger shows that we have here on the network, one of the ones that appeals to a lot of you guys out there, especially those that listen in different formats. We put those episodes up on YouTube, and a lot of people really like the Career Profiles podcast on YouTube. And we are working with a video production company called Recaba Sports. I give them a big shout out because they're starting to help us now develop some of our video-based content for social media. So if you do start to see some fancy-looking videos that are coming out of our content that's been previously done, then that's big thanks to them, really. And going forward, that'll be something that we'll be looking to do with the show with regards to things like career profiles, is providing more visual content like that. And eventually down the line, we will be looking at some of the weekly shows being filmed, in particular for big fights, of course, as well. We will get together in a venue and we'll bring people like Chris Wardrope on board as guests and people like that to be able to get involved in some of those big fights coming up in the future, especially those huge, huge fights that we're all looking forward to. The one that gets us all talking about boxing on that particular week. I'm looking forward to getting more of that stuff out there. So guys, please do keep tuning in and do keep downloading and sharing on social media and letting us know your comments and your thoughts and feelings, because the feedback is genuinely taken on board. And whatever it is, whether it's constructive, whether it's actually a little bit of negative and something we can turn into a positive, and that's the whole point of being able to provide it to us, is to allow us to continue to move forward as a network and bring you the highest quality content out there. There is so many different options for boxing content these days, and we are quite a niche side of this sport, and we want to continue to be that, and we want to continue to give you a different outlet to go to other than the same interview from the same fighter on five different outlets. What we want to do is provide you something completely different, and the history of the sport is what we love, and the true crime element of the sport we love. So please keep tuning in and listening, and keep supporting us, keep sharing the videos and commenting. It really, really helps us. If you're on Spotify and you're subscribing that way, leave a comment below. If you watch on YouTube, you watch any of the series-based content that we stick on YouTube, do leave comments below as well on there, and do share it on your social media channels, because it really does help us. If you're not following us on social media, it's pretty easy to find us. Just type in BTR Boxing Podcast Network. If you want to find any of the individual Twitter accounts, you can find them at Career Profiles or Dark Side of Boxing or Legendary Knights. They do have their own Twitter accounts, but generally we just work on the BTR Boxing Podcast Network social media handles, so you can see everything on there. We'll always post everything up on particular handles. But that is it for this episode, guys. We do hope you enjoy this week's boxing. We will be back next week with a reaction show. There will also be another Shooting the Breeze episode coming later in the week as well, so please do tune in for that. We haven't mentioned certain fights that have been announced and certain things that are happening in the sport on purpose, because we wanted to do that on its own dedicated episode. So we will be bringing that to you a little bit later in the week. So please do tune in, listen, and share your thoughts and feelings on some of those announcements and moments that have been happening over the last couple of weeks. But that is it for this episode. Thanks for listening to the Big Fight Preview on the BTR Boxing Podcast Network.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.